Good morning to everyone. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. The epistle for the first Sunday of Advent is from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, knowing the time, that it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is past, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and impurities, not in contention and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. As for the words of the epistle, reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations by reason of the confusion of the roaring of the sea and of the waves, men withering away for fear and expectation of what shall come upon the whole world. For the powers of heaven shall be moved, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and majesty. But when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand." And he spoke to them a similitude. "See the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth their fruit, you know that summer is nigh. And you also, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen, I say to you, this generation shall not pass away until all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. Dear faithful, the epistle of St. Paul today, telling the Romans to put away sins and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he mentions a few of the types of sin in particular. He's speaking of honesty. Let us walk honestly. Honesty is not simply refraining from lies. There's more to it. If we're going to be honest, we start by being honest with ourselves. If we're not going to be honest with ourselves, neither are we going to be honest with others. And to be honest with ourselves, we have to admit all that is true to ourselves. When you used to swear in a courtroom, you have to raise your hand or put your hand on the Bible and say, they ask you, "Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?" And now they used to say, "So help me God," but I think the atheists got that part taken out, and the Bible as well. But you would admit the truth to yourself and all of it, not just part of it, the whole thing. It is a classic hallmark of Protestants to embellish and emphasize one truth while denying another truth. We don't want to be like the Protestants in our thinking. And so we want to be honest and admit everything that's true. The second thing he mentions is not in rioting and drunkenness. Cast off the works of darkness. Walk honestly, not in rioting and drunkenness. In other words, party, party, party. We have the, you know, the Vice Squad. Remember the TV serial Miami Vice? Guy with the good-looking guy with the whiskers, right? But the vices that we want to put away are particularly the things, bad habits, like taking too much food and drink and too much wine and song and too much laughing and fun. There's a measure for good things. Rioting and drunkenness don't belong in Christ. They don't belong in a Catholic. If we have a custom of imbibing alcohol more than what's good, we're not walking in Christ. We're putting Him behind, putting Him aside. It's something that some people develop a great weakness for. But what is the solution? Well, if it's alcoholism, complete abstinence is the solution. If it's just an occasional splurge on drink, then a rule of life with regard to alcohol, which is strictly kept. Like, for example, I will take no more than one alcoholic beverage, drink, in any 24-hour period, any day. And if you made that your rule of life and you kept it, you would never be drunk. But if you don't have a rule, or you don't think you need one, you're likely to fall. It's a question of using some strategy. And some discipline as well. Keeping that strategy, not putting it aside for various excuses. Then he says, not in chambering and impurities. Chambering, of course, having to do with a room, a bedroom. Impurities. That is not anything to do with Christ. Lord Jesus Christ wants us to keep our hearts and our bodies pure and to follow the sixth and ninth commandment, both of them. Now, the world now has plenty of sources for material of this kind. You must avoid them. Avoid might be a little bit weak of a term, a stronger term. You must abhor, abstain, and refuse. Absolutely, these sources of impurity, both from outside and from yourselves. Immodest stress, for example, is a source of temptation to others and a source of also a lax conscience with regard to chastity. We not to appear outside of the privacy of your own bedroom or bathroom, immodestly exposed. That is not Christ, that's Satan. One of the hallmarks of Satan is nudity, an exposure of flesh. He's behind it. Now it's getting to be winter time and you tend to cover up a little more, but you'll have to remember this in the spring. And not in contention and envy. Contention when someone has their own argument. They have something they want to complain about, making problems for others. Contention and envy. What are those? Envy, there is a good envy and there's a bad envy. The good envy is when we see someone who's good and we're inspired to imitate that goodness that we see in them and be good ourselves. That's the good envy. The bad envy is when we see somebody who's got something good and we are saddened because they have it good. Or when they have bad luck, we rejoice. We're happy to see them have bad luck. That's evil envy. It is contrary to the virtue of charity, by which we should wish good on our neighbors and be glad for it. And that if that good is not there, it is a cause of sadness to us, because we would wish them to be good. And this shows itself in fights, arguments, angry words, gossip, backbiting, speaking evil of a third party, whether they're present or absent. That is not Christ at all. That's the devil working behind those things, encouraging those things. Contrary to Christian virtue. And if we will not correct ourselves in these points, we will not see God in the next life, except the angry Judge Christ, who will tell us, "Get out of my sight." And we look then now to what's written in the Gospel. Jesus telling his apostles the signs of the times, some things which will occur before the end of the world and the last judgment. And in this first week of Advent, we remember again the end of the world, or in other words, the second coming of Christ. And we are preparing ourselves for the first coming, or the commemoration and the celebration of his first coming. At Christmas, when he came as Savior, and he came as a little baby, a cute, beautiful little baby, someone that's easy to love, even for people that are not so holy themselves, which is what he's coming to do, is to save the unholy. That means us. Comes to make them holy. And so he first starts by giving us a Savior that we can love. He's not come the first time to growl at us, to scourge us, to make us run away from him, but rather to draw us to him by the strings of our love. So that seeing this helpless little baby come into the world, we will love him. And by loving him, we'll readily serve and obey all that he wants. For he's not only a lovable little child, he's our God. And if we love him, if we love our God as we should, then it's easy to obey. Now, very often, a person begins to disobey because they don't think. I can't emphasize that enough to you, and I cannot ever say that I've said enough about it. In order to save our souls, we'll have to think. The devil is very cunning, and he does think. If you have two armies fighting, one of them has an intelligentsia, and they think, and the other one does not, which one has the advantage? It's the one that thinks. And if the devil is thinking all this time, and you're not, going to be the loser. In order to win, you'll have to think. And if you do think, you will win. What do you have to think? How to control myself according to God's laws. is all a matter of self-control. I know I have to obey the commandments. I know I have to love and obey God in this world. Well, how do I do that? How does one go about it? And if we think and come up with some strategies, then we will do it. If we have discipline to keep the strategies. And all of us make mistakes. There's nobody here totally perfect. And so, don't let it get you down. If you make mistakes, okay. If you made a mistake, do something to take care of it. Do something to make it right again. Undo the mistake. Make reparation for your sins, and then put yourself on guard against doing the same thing the next time. Don't trust yourself. Look at your record. After looking at your record, say, "Can I be trusted?" Answer, "No." If we trust ourselves, we're trusting a fool. The money, it says, "In God we trust," right? So we trust in God, and we work ourselves as though we can't be trusted, and then we're going to make it. We want to prepare ourselves for Christmas, and at the same time, by preparing ourselves for Christmas, we prepare ourselves for the second coming. Tuesday morning at Fort Collins, I will bury a man who died up there. His name, Floyd Martinez. He was not too sick, and he was not too old. He died suddenly in his sleep. He didn't expect it, neither did his wife, and no one else did. Say a prayer for his soul when you think of it. And if he was ready, if he was constantly doing battle against his vices, really doing battle, if he was keeping his soul clean in the state of grace, keeping the Ten Commandments, then he has a chance at salvation. If he wasn't ready for the first coming, for the baby Jesus, if he wasn't one of those who loved and obeyed Jesus, then he wouldn't be ready for his judge to come. They would be caught unprepared, like the five foolish virgins in the parable. There were 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. And they were all invited to a wedding, and their job was to greet the bride and groom when they came to the wedding reception hall. And they were to take lamps because it would be dark. And 5 of them took extra oil to refill their lamps. And the other 5, who were foolish, took their lamps with them, but they did not take a refill of oil. And then the spouses delayed. They were tardy. They were late, you know, tarrying, maybe too long, taking pictures or something in between the wedding and the reception. And the virgins that were waiting at the door fell asleep. And the cry was made finally when the husband and wife came, and they woke up and trimmed their lamps, but the foolish virgins' lamps had gone out, because they were out of oil. And they said to the wise virgins, "Give us some of your oil, because our lamps are gone out." And the wise virgins said to the foolish ones, "Go rather and buy for yourselves to the vendors, for lest perhaps there won't be enough for all 10 of us if we divide up what our spare oil." And the five foolish virgins went off to buy. Meanwhile, the bride and groom came, and the five wise virgins had their lamps lit and were entered in to the wedding reception with the bride and groom, and the doors were closed. This represents that they had the grace of God in their souls, and the light of grace was burning in their souls, and they entered into the kingdom of heaven. Then the others, the foolish virgins, came after having refilled and relighted their lamps, came to the door, and the bridegroom answers the door, and he says, "I know you not." And he did not allow them to come in, because they had not done what they should have done. They should have had their lamps burning the whole time. So it's a comparison of the graces of God. We receive grace in our baptism. We want to have that grace in our souls always. And in order to keep it, we obey the commandments. And we avoid the danger of falling into sin. So this is the first Sunday of Advent. We see also the example of John the Baptist, who was sent to prepare people for the coming Savior. The Messiah was coming, and people should be ready for his arrival when he comes, and not caught busy with other things and unconcerned with the coming of the Savior. And that is how we spend our Advent. We prepare for Christmas. You'll see that people decorate their yards and their houses with lights and Christmas trees and reindeers and all that. That is good. But it is not the essential preparation. That is a reflection of what should be going on inside of our souls as we get ready for Christmas. And some of those things especially represent, those lights represent virtues and good works, good deeds, alms deeds even, and prayers. Those lights are little things which shine in the presence of God. Something that he likes to see in us. We look at a pretty decorated Christmas tree, and it is pleasing to our eyes. We want to be one of those Christmas trees for Jesus. A living human Christmas tree with virtues and good works and shining beauty, internal especially. So that Jesus, when he looks on us, he will be pleased on his birthday. And if we go out and cut a Christmas tree and it has dead branch on it or some other bad part, we cut it off before we set it up and put it in the house. And we get rid of the bad parts. That's what we want to do with our souls. We've got a bad habit. We want to stop it. Stop it. How do you stop a bad habit? You make yourself stop it. It's mind over matter. I'm going to stop that, and nothing's going to stop me from stopping that. And then when it comes time to take action, whatever that action may be in order to stop a bad habit, you take the action. Make yourself take the action. Force it. No one else is going to force you to do it. And if you do it, it'll be done. And probably very well, too, I'd imagine, if you're serious about being pleasing to the good Lord. In this gospel, we see that our Lord is teaching us about the tribulations of the last times. There are going to be men withering away for fear of what might happen to the whole world. And the stars falling from the skies, tremendous agitation in the world. Well, we have that. And nevertheless, we're required to shine. And so, how do we focus on being good when all this trouble is happening around us? The answer is, don't concern yourself so much with the trouble that's happening around you. Concern yourself with the trouble that's happening within you. There is where you can make a difference. The world is in a mess. Let me see to it that I am not also in a mess by focusing on my own soul. The devil would like you to focus only on external problems and ignore the problems of your own soul. And if he gets us doing, all he has to do to get us doing this is present these things. He has a tendency to show us things, put something in our imagination so that our focus will be on it. We have to learn to shove those things aside and focus on the things we know we need to do and work on where we can really make a difference right in here. So this is the first Sunday of Advent. Let us prepare ourselves. Start preparing right away for Christmas. Decorate our own soul as a Christmas tree for the good Lord. And to put away from us vices. To work, to take our spiritual hammer and smash our bad habits. Smash them. Don't be easy on bad habits. Take them out. It's a little bit like a football game. Some of you like to watch NFL football, you know. And you got a blocker running in front of your running back who's carrying the ball. And the blocker is supposed to take out the defenseman, knock him down, right? So he can't touch the ball carrier. No one touches that ball carrier. So this blocker takes him out. Well, you have to take out your bad habits and take them out finally and severely. Knock them down and keep them down. It's not as difficult as it seems if you just make up your mind that that is what I'm going to do. Because on a football field, it takes muscle and size and speed. But in the spiritual battle, it takes your will. And your will is able to do all things necessary to take out bad habits. It is able. And maybe lazy, but that's a problem that can be fixed by determination. So this is the first week of Advent. Let us get ready for Christmas and let us make it serious. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.